Dependability, the greatest ability. This is instant inspiration from Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California. Dependability, the greatest ability. Now, why would we say that being dependable is the greatest ability? Well, we all have opportunities of walking our path and doing things that we want to do, making decisions, choosing to follow our own desires, and being true to ourselves. However, are we dependable in the things that we have agreed to do? A man who says, I'm going to marry this woman, and then he goes out and has affairs with other women, is a liar. He's certainly not dependable. And the woman, if she found out about that, she would find he was not dependable either and would not be at all happy about it. In fact, it would be grounds for separation, total divorce, total destruction of something that was supposed to have been an immortal activity, a marriage made in heaven, a marriage made on dependability. But so many men, they travel the world, and in their travels they picked up little dependents here and there that they think are just lots of fun, and they think nobody knows about it, and if they know about it, they don't care. I mean, this is a modern age where you're allowed to go out and be irresponsible. Well, there's never a time to go out and be irresponsible. There's never a time to go out and not be dependable for whatever it is that you have chosen to do. Now, nobody said that these men and women, women travel the world too, I tell you, nobody said that these men and women had to get married. They could have remained single and then found the pleasures wherever they found them, and at least they were not going against their vow, going against their promises, their agreement to be dependable. But is it right for promiscuous sex to be had around the world, anywhere at all, even in your own town? Is that acceptable? And of course, it all depends on what generation you're in, what school you're in, what decade you're in, and because you see, sex is a temporary thing. It's only today. There is no tomorrow for that, and there is no sex has never taken place in the history of mankind until you came along. And you're the first one and the only one who really understands what sex is. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being very realistic. Because the old statement is, anything that I do is right. Oh, that sounds like be yourself and have fun. Is it? Are you proud of being right in doing things that are promiscuous? Are you proud in being not dependable? Are you proud of yourself when you are lacking in the ability of dependability? What is it that we look at for the leaders of our country? Dependability. We vote on their measure, we vote on their beings, and yet the majority of the elected politicians have a history which would land them in jail under other circumstances. But because they have been able to manipulate the conditions, they have been able to stay free. But is that such a desirable thing? Is that the thing that we want our nation to be founded upon? Is that what we want this world to be looking forward to? And I would say, it doesn't seem right to me, but I'm just from an old school. And because I'm from an old school, I am both stomped on and uplifted. And I'm uplifted by those in the old school, and I'm stomped on those in the new school. And they say, Herb, you're just too tough. You're just too demanding of us in our experiences, because we're young people and we're out doing these things. Now, I'll have a lot of young people listening to this tape and saying, oh my gosh, and that's what we call our school. That's what we call our organization. You know, I've always known that Herb had very definite opinions and definite ideas on things, but now here he's saying that the things, some of the things that we're doing are wrong, even when we're not married. And interesting. Why is it that mothers have always been concerned with little boys playing with themselves under the covers, you know? What difference does it make, you know? There must be some rule or some law or some right action about that. There must be something that historically that's coming down, because parents have basically all done that. They all get after their children for playing with themselves, you know. And very interesting. Where does it come from? It doesn't come from the primitive cultures, because they have no objections to any of that stuff. And it doesn't come from any of the, I guess they're all primitive cultures when they're away from the civilization as we know it. But it's only in the civilized country that it's not acceptable. And why is it that it's not acceptable? I don't have the answer for you. But why is it that it's not acceptable? It's just not acceptable because it's not acceptable. Why would something like that, which seems so unimportant, be not acceptable? And having your husbands and wives running around with the neighbors and things like that, and then your children having many sexual relationships before they even get married, why is that all acceptable? You know, I mean, it's something is haywire. Something is out of whack. Not that the first is wrong. Not that children should or should not play with themselves. That's not the point. The point is, where are our values? Mm-hmm. How do they become established? What is the importance of them? Where is our dependability? If our dependability is a bunch of irrationality, then our dependability has not a leg to stand on, and people don't know how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to live. And I'm the last one to make a judgment on what is right and wrong. I just say, as for myself. And I've gotten in trouble over this because people have wanted to do things with me and I had not agreed to it. And then next thing you know, I am the bad person and I've done things that... How interesting. Okay, but what is this all about? What are you dependable in? What are your values? I would suggest that any of us who have any values at all, that we live our values. That these are our greatest ability, to live our values. Now, our values may be a little more demanding. Now, you notice I'm using that word. It may be a little more demanding than what other people demand of themselves, but that's okay. You must see Camelot and meet Lancelot. And Lancelot said that he would teach King Arthur's court all of the acts of chivalry and all the acts of war and all the acts of wonderful, but he would not require them to have his spiritual search for his inner self, because it is too demanding. Now you see, Lancelot was a beautiful, pure, innocent person, and he was so innocent and so naive in many ways, but beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And then in one moment, when he forgot his reserve, he forgot his rule, he forgot the game he was playing of being the model, being the role shower, being the role player, and all that stuff for all the rest of the knights. The moment he forgot, and he fell in love with the king's wife. Wow. I tell you, he should have been shot, which is not necessary. He should have left the court, because that would be his own moral turpitude, to leave the court and not fall into that pattern. And he didn't do that. He could have gone to the king and say, I love your wife, but I respect her and I, you know, will not follow up on my love. I will just always worship her. And then the king will say, well, hey, I'll divorce her and you can marry her because you love her so much. And no. As it was, it made a mess of the country, according to the storybooks and according to the stories. Okay, now history. Where are our values? Where are our values? Sex is just one of the easy things to talk about, because it right away brings a smile and a frown to our face. But where are our values? Are our values in telling the truth? Are our values in being honest? And your value is not in being honest. None of you. Each one of you have come here and said you're going to be a monk and you're going to follow the rules 100%, and you haven't been able to. It's not that easy. You haven't been able to follow the rules 100%. I said, do not speak one negative word here. Whether I speak it or not, that's not the point. I'm going to challenge you. But you should not speak one negative word. You should always speak positive. And then how? First person, present tense, positive. Have you always done it? 100%? Or even 10%? You see, you made a promise when you come into the King Arthur's court, and you're going to be a knight for King Arthur, that you're going to uphold the Knights of the Round Table. You're going to uphold the purpose of Camelot. You're going to uphold the king, and you're going to defend the king to your death, totally. And do you think you're defending your king to the totally, and your king is yourself? Do you think that you're defending your king totally by not standing up for what you've agreed to do, by always being positive, always being loving? Do you ever think a judgmental thought about another person? Do you ever are you ever bothered by what another person does? Are you ever touched by what another person does? You see, you got to be very careful here. You got to be very careful. Keep your nose out of other people's business. Keep it in your own business, because you got enough work to do there. You got a good business. Your being, your soul, your life, your body, your spirit, your mind, all that is good stuff. It's good stuff. But are you respecting it? Or are you going off and being sorry for yourself? Are you going off and being angry? Are you going off and playing your own game contrary to what you've agreed to do? I don't say that you have to do everything I say. I just say you have to do everything I say. Because I am the test for you. I'm a pain in the neck. I jump down your back every time you are not quite on the ball. And once I've jumped, I'm done. I don't care. If you got the message, fine. If you don't got the message, that's fine too. It doesn't bother me. When you don't have the message, that's your business. Totally. If you don't want to rise to the top, if you don't want to be the master that you are, that's okay. But I give you this. Now, dependability, the greatest ability. When we can depend on ourselves, when we can depend on ourselves. Now, could each of you depend on yourself if there was a difficult circumstance? Think about it. You say, oh, sure. Ha, ha, ha. I have seen you at work. And I have seen difficult circumstances facing you. And the first thing you did was to start bitching about somebody else. Why doesn't so-and-so do this, so-and-so? Hey, that's just the reason that I'm doing it. It's so that you'll bitch if you bitch. But if you are untouched by it, you say, hey, no problem. Ingeborg was watering the plant here, and the water came out the bottom of the plant and started pouring all over the carpet. And I said, Ingeborg, come over and wipe this up, please. And she says, oh, that shouldn't have happened. That was, you know, right away fight it. Right away fight it. Just wipe it up and say, thank you, Herb. Thank you for noticing it before it stained the carpet, you know. Thank you. But, you know, right away you want to defend yourself. You're, oh, I fixed that so it wouldn't do that. Well, obviously it did it, you know. I prepared this so that that wouldn't happen. But obviously it happened, you know. And I tell you, it reminds me so much of Ilse. Ilse, her mind was always on 100 things. And when she would vacuum the floor, her mind would be somewhere else. and the vacuum cleaner would eat up the cable and chew it to pieces. And she wouldn't even notice it was happening. She'd just go back and forth and back. I said, Ilsa, shut the thing off. Why? Look, it's eating up the cable. Oh! She'd shut it off, and she'd pull the cable out, and put tape on it and try to repair it again. We did it maybe about 6 times. But that's not being dependable for what you're doing. Yes, it's wonderful to be in meditation. It's wonderful to be wool gathering. It's wonderful, but at the right moment, while you're vacuuming the carpet, which should be the simplest thing in the world, while you're vacuuming the carpet, you at least pay attention to where the cord is. You hold the cord in one hand, and then you vacuum away so you don't run over the cord. Because normally it doesn't bother the cord, but when it chews it up and spits it out later, that's different. And of course, you get yourself a good shock, too. But it's not because Sylvia, or Ilsa, was not paying attention to her life, was not sincere, was not wanting to do everything right, but she just got off into her upper level, not realizing that she's got to be on the lower level, too, in this, as a human adventure, too, and pay attention there. But what the heck? I gave Ilsa the best path on the place to work on. I gave her the path to the waterfall in the School of the Master. The simplest path in the world. It's already defined. You just put stones along the edge of it, and you just love it. And she says it was too hard. Well, what she meant was it took her away from everybody else during that time. Well, everybody else is doing their thing. Nobody's paying attention to anybody else. But you see, it's judgment. And when you're in the School of the Master, you never judge. You just follow. And when you're done, if you have followed with a loving heart, the blessing to you is so great, so beautiful, and so fantastic. Dependability. Are you dependable to follow what you have agreed to do? Have you agreed? Sylvia has agreed to be the daughter of her mother and father. She agreed to be the sister of her brothers and sisters. She agreed to be the relative of her other family members. What does it mean to play that role of daughter, sister, relative? What does it mean? It means whatever Sylvia puts upon it. But she cannot put one thing here and something else here. Well, with my brother, I'm one way, but with my nephew, I'm another way, you know. Well, maybe there's a grandson there, too, we don't know about. But anyhow, with my nephew, I deal with him differently. Well, why? Do you love your nephew different than you love your brother? You should have that same absolute sharing love that knows no limitation for both of them. But no, just because Oliver, isn't it? Just because Oliver is such a cute little guy, and he's such a friendly, sociable guy, and as he was growing up, he was so attached to you, he got all your attention. Whereas your brothers and sisters, they just got the leftovers. But you see, that's not fair. If you're going to take a responsibility, you took the responsibility of being the brother and sister, you know, having brothers and sisters and having a mother and father and these things. And you cannot play one against the other. But we do, don't we? In all families. Ellen, she's thinking of her son, Diego, and she's thinking how wonderful he is. And then he does something dumb. And then she turns to Mariella, and she thinks how wonderful she is. And Mariella somehow just doesn't do things dumb, or is smart enough to keep quiet about it so nobody knows about it, which is probably the case, because you can't run a household of 5 children and a husband without stepping on a few toes somewhere along the line. But she does her thing. She is dedicated to it, and she follows it. And all of us should follow whatever we have agreed to follow. Whatever our dependability is, it should be 100%. That's the greatest ability we can have. And you're fantastic. And you will enjoy life very thoroughly if you will be dependable in every way, shape, and form in your life. And I see you that way.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Love you too.